What we have here is it's a presentation by Dr. David Merry. He is professor of Old Testament in Puritan Reformed Seminary. He comes from the Free Church of Scotland Continuing. He is no doubt the most technically savvy of our professors. If anybody looks at any of his work online, he's got a lot of user-accessible things. What we're going to do is divide his presentation into two parts. First, he's going to give a very simple outline of four biblical principles that we can adopt concerning technology in general. Then he's going to give us seven-step approach to training ourselves and our children with regard to the use of technology, particularly internet technology. Then in part two, which is, God willing, next Lord's Day, because I think that's the way the time's going to fall. Part two is a very interesting, first of all, he's going to apply those seven steps to a particular application. In this example, it'll be Facebook. And, he's going to begin with a very interesting presentation on, is it even necessary? And I found it to be a compelling presentation where he shows how online communication and social networking has far outpaced every other form of communication ever known to man in the space of a year or two. So he'll give a presentation, first making the case that we need to be abreast of these things, and second, the application of those seven steps to something like social networking online. Now, there may be certain parts of the presentation where you think, well, this doesn't really apply to us. Well, that may be so. But as our children get older, as they get on their own, as things evolve, I have a hunch that these principles and their applications will come in handy for whatever new technology comes down the line. Because they're pretty basic, pretty straightforward. You might even find yourself saying after the first part, well, this is kind of common sense. But I still think it's an excellent presentation, nevertheless.
We're living in times of astonishing change. We're now in the second decade of the digital revolution. A revolution that's proving even more momentous and world-changing than the industrial revolution of the 19th century. None of us can keep up with the pace of change. Almost every week, new inventions are unveiled, new opportunities arise, new dangers lurk. The personal computer and internet has changed the way we and our children study, play, socialize, shop, learn, and even apply for jobs. And this is not just about computers and laptops, it's about cell phones, iPods, iPads, games consoles too. And increasingly, even secular sources are sounding some warning notes about the collateral damage of the digital revolution. Childhood obesity, inability to concentrate, loss of interpersonal skills, increased depression, and so on. But how should we as Christians respond? Is there a distinctive Christian response? I believe there is. As well as concerns for the physical, mental, emotional and social development of our children, we also have a deep interest in their moral and spiritual health. We view the passing events of time from an eternal perspective. And we realize that the eternal destiny of our children may well be determined by their use or abuse of digital technology. But how do we navigate through these exciting, though dangerous, rapids? How do we shepherd our children through these lush fields, yet full of poisonous flowers? These are the questions I want to help you to answer. I want to begin by giving you four biblical principles. Second, we'll consider three possible responses to the digital revolution. going to outline a 7-step training program for our children. Finally, I'm going to show you how to implement that program in one of the most problematic of areas, social networking. Let's start with 4 biblical principles. 4 biblical principles, I hear you say. What does the Bible possibly have to say about the digital revolution, about the internet, or about social networking? And how can we possibly control these unstoppable forces of technology with just the Bible in our hands? Now, it's true, the Bible does not say anything specifically about the internet or social networking. However, it doesn't have to. Instead, God gave us sufficient general principles in the Bible with which, by prayer and the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can apply to our own day and situation. The Reformer spoke of the Bible as being like a pair of spectacles by which we view the world. So, the Bible's not just what we read, it's what we read with. Its vision-enhancing power helps us to read the world and understand it better. So, putting on the spectacles of Scripture, let's identify 4 biblical principles to guide us in our approach to the digital age. First, technology is created by God. What do we mean, though, when we say God created technology? Obviously, we don't mean the same thing as the Genesis 1 creation of everything out of nothing. We mean first that God created the physical elements that manufacturers use to produce technology. Second, we mean that God created the forces and powers that we need to make technology work. Magnetism, electricity. Third, we mean that God created the human minds that discovered or invented the silicon chip, the internet, fiber optics, etc. I know men and women like to think they invented this or that. However, God is the ultimate inventor of everything. He just allows men and women to discover what he has already invented. Second, technology is not essentially sinful. There's nothing inherently sinful about the personal computer or the internet. The internet simply involves sending signals or impulses from one point to another. The technology is really no different, no more sinful than the technology behind the telephone. Third, technology has many good uses. Distant families can communicate in voice and video for next to nothing or free. We can share photos and news with all our friends and family with just one click on Facebook. We've got access to less biased news sources as we bypass the mainstream media's gatekeeping role. Add to that convenient banking, inexpensive shopping, innumerable educational resources, Christian sermons, books, articles from the best speakers and writers. God is so good, and we trace all these good gifts to our good giver. Fourth, technology has been perverted and abused by sinners. Like all of God's good gifts, technology has been perverted and abused by sinful men and women. According to the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography, the largest group of viewers of internet porn is children between the ages of 12 and 17. Cyberbullying has driven some young people to suicide. Almost 50% of teens have received threatening or hurtful emails or text messages, with only 10% of them telling their parents. Predators stalk internet chat rooms, grooming their victims for future abuse. 50% of teens admit to having used the internet to cheat in exams, 35% of them having used their cell phones. 48% admit to stealing songs and computer games through illegal download sites. Identity theft is an increasing nightmare for many. The anonymity of online gambling has drawn many into this sin who would never have physically visited a casino. More than 20% of kids in the USA are considered addicted to computer and video games. Sinful men and women have taken God's good gifts and perverted and abused them. Technology is really no different to poppies. Both technology and poppies are created by God. Neither are essentially sinful. Both have many good uses. Poppy opium being used as a painkiller. But both poppies and technology have been perverted and abused by sinners. Heroin being also derived from poppies. So, both poppies and technology should lead us to worship our Creator God for his genius, but also to hate the devil, who has so maliciously twisted all God's good gifts into destroying weapons. With these four biblical principles in our hands, how do we respond to digital life? Well, there are three possibilities. First, some respond with an enthusiastic embrace. They accept and welcome every technological development without any thought about downsides or long-term consequences. Anything and everything goes. No rules or guidelines are necessary. Just enjoy all we're inventing and discovering. But this really fails to take account of the fourth biblical principle. Technology is perverted and abused by sinners. No right-thinking Christian can enthusiastically embrace all technology without restraint. In fact, few non-Christians would take this approach, as more and more are realizing that for every upside in technology, there's a downside. For every opportunity, there's a danger. The second possible response is strict separation. That's going to the opposite extreme from enthusiastic embrace. Strict separatists reject digital technology as completely evil and withdraw from it entirely. I sympathise with this reaction and I understand it. It certainly gives full weight to the fourth biblical principle. Technology is perverted and abused by sinners. However, it fails to properly weigh the first three principles. Technology is created by God, is not essentially sinful, and in fact has many good uses. And I say strict separation is understandable, but it's actually not realistic. Without withdrawing from society, you will not succeed in withdrawing from technology. Screen technology is everywhere. You can throw out your computer, but most teenagers access the internet on their cell phones, iTouches, and games consoles. They can surf at school, public libraries, internet cafes. And our kids will almost always beat us at this game. They're more tech-savvy than we are, and they'll outsmart us. 64% of kids admit that they are already doing things online that they don't want their parents to know about. And I said I sympathised with this separatist response, but I must also say that in the long run, it will harm your children. It may protect them for a time, but it will not prepare them for life away from your control. If they've never learned how to control technology under your guidance, then they will be ill-equipped to respond rightly when they move away from your supervision. So that leads me to the third possible response, the response I believe to be the most balanced and biblical. I'm going to call it disciplined discernment. And I've taken this title from my friend, blogger and writer Tim Challey's excellent book, The Discipline of Discernment. Now, Tim's book's not about technology in particular, but rather with the need to develop discernment in general. However, the need to develop the discipline of discernment is vital in this specific area of technology. Discernment refers to the ability to distinguish between true and false, right and wrong, good and evil. Disciplined discernment indicates that this is an ability that can be learned and should be daily practiced in our Christian lives. If we develop this discipline, we will be able to discern the good in technology from the harmful. But how do we practice this disciplined discernment in daily life? I want to give you a 7-step training program to develop disciplined discernment in you and your children. Step 1, educate. And first, educate yourself. Hiding your head in the sand, ostrich style, is not an option for the serious Christian. You must get on the internet and start learning. Begin with websites that cover technology at a popular level. One of the best is getnetwise.org. They've got articles highlighting good sites with advice on how to avoid dangerous sites. They cover things like phishing, scams, viruses, firewalls, filter and site blocking software. So you need to educate yourself. Second, educate your children. Explain that the internet is like a jungle. It has many hidden dangers that we must learn how to avoid or how to escape if we stumble upon them. We want to explore this exciting new world, but we want to return unscathed. If your children do understand some of the dangers and consequences, then they should be more willing to accept boundaries and controls. Step 2, vents. The first vents we must erect is antivirus software. I'm astonished at how many people still risk their computers by not installing this software. There are free versions such as AVG, and even the paid services, they only cost $50 to $100 per year. Second, you should also install a firewall, mainly for security purposes. Antivirus software stops evil people getting evil things into your machine. A firewall stops evil people getting your personal information out of your machine. Again, you can pay a small fee or use a free version like Zone Alarm. And with both antivirus and firewall, you've got to keep them updated. Third, set some time boundaries. The internet and other technology can become highly addictive. It can devour hours and hours of time. So limit the frequency and length of use of technology. Again, you can get software to measure this and also to cut off devices after certain periods of time. Or use an administrator password to make sure that no one can access the internet or use the computer without you signing them in. Fourth, set some site limits. When beginning with your children, you should probably start with just one safe children's website and only allow them to click and surf within that site. And if they prove trustworthy and reliable, then you can add another and another. And you can check their browsing activity using the browser history record. Fifth, limit the amount of personal information that your children are permitted to divulge to others over the internet. I suggest you set a very strict rule that they never use their real name, and certainly not their real address or phone number. Their email address should only be given to those you agree to. Sixthly, set bounds on what can be downloaded. Don't allow them to download anything without your prior permission. Step 3, mentor. Having educated both yourself and your children, having set up some boundaries and fences, the next stage is to mentor them as they use the internet. It's not enough to just teach them some rules, then walk away. You've got to sit with them and surf with them. Guide them as they work within the boundaries you've set. Ask them why they clicked on this and not that. Highlight and praise good use while steering them away from what's harmful. Step 4, supervise. You can't mentor your children forever, so when you feel they're ready, you can begin to supervise them from a bit of a distance. This is not the time for handing everything over and trusting them. Many parents do just that. 84% of parents rely on verbal agreements to ensure their children surf safely. I don't think that's at all wise or responsible. We do need to step back a bit, but still supervise. And the first level of supervision is physical. Simply put, all screens, TV, computer, laptop, iPad, iTouch, they should all be visible to others in the home. You could put all your computers in one fairly public place. My children have got laptops, so what I do is I agree that they'll use the internet, say, between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. tonight, and I'll make sure that I'm using my own laptop beside them at that time too. The second level of supervision is digital. There are many software programs that offer various ways to supervise our children. Some act like filters, stopping them accessing web pages containing certain trigger words like sex, casino, etc. Others, they will block websites belonging to certain categories you can specify. You can also name certain sites you do not want accessed. You may want to block instant messaging or chat services as well. Other programs, they'll monitor the usage and send a very detailed report to you, either in real time or weekly. You'll want to look at programs such as Net Nanny, Cyber Sitter, Cyber Patrol. The one I favour most is Covenant Eyes. I find it the easiest to set up and it has the fewest false alarms. Its reports are also extremely simple to read and it has an application for the iPhone and the iPad. It does cost a monthly premium, however, I'm sure you'd agree that keeping your children safe is worth a few dollars a month. Think of the moral and spiritual costs that may result if you don't. As your children grow older, you can probably reduce the level of physical supervision and rely more on digital supervision. However, please don't rely on digital supervision alone. It's not foolproof, and tech-savvy kids can sometimes find ways of getting around it. Step 5, review. It's very tempting to get to this point and then hand it all over to the software to do its job. I think it's important to keep communication going though. Sit down with your kids and ask them about their online experiences. Without threat of repercussions, ask them, "Do you have anything you wish to share with me? Any great websites you'd recommend? Any websites that worried you? Did you make any mistakes?" Or maybe sit down with the Covenant Eyes report and talk it over with them. encourage them if they're getting good ratings. Maybe talk to them about what might be causing alarm bells to ring. Let them know that you are still involved, you're still concerned. Step 6, trust. This step-by-step training program assumes that as you progress, you're doing the earlier steps less and less. As our kids grow older, hopefully more mature and trustworthy, we can hopefully step back more and let them become their own filters and blockers. We're preparing them to leave father and mother and cleave to their wife or their husband. However, I do believe that all of us should have an accountability partner for our technology use. So you should strongly advise your children to keep covenant eyes and have the report sent to their future husband or wife or their pastor or a strong Christian friend. Step 7, model. Perhaps the most powerful of all the steps is to model godly use of technology. Show as well as tell. By your example, show your children good time management. Demonstrate that you too are accountable to your husband or wife via, say, covenant eyes. Keep your screen viewable at all times. Model godly conduct. To show you how this really works in practice, I'd like to now apply this 7-step training program to social networking.
I think that's where we'll stop, because then he's going to walk us through those steps using like a program like Facebook, things like that. But it's going to take a bit of time to do that, so I thought we'd just break here. Questions, comments, observations, things that you found to be helpful that you can share with other people, whether it's practices or programs or anything? Yeah. That's one that almost everybody I know in the seminary uses and they recommend it to us too. It's a Christian, obviously a Christian based program and all. And I think, the accountability thing is just, instead of looking at like, as a policeman looking over your shoulder, I find it to be just one less thing to worry about. Knowing that whatever you're doing is seen by God is of course the godly response. But, having someone to help you, to remain faithful and loyal is just a wonderful thing. And so that does that. You have to specify somebody's email address or more than one person's email address to send those reports to. And they,
What are the reports like?
There's different ones. There's free programs like that. There's one that I'm using right now that's free. It sends like a written report of any websites you would visit that are questionable. And usually the way those filters work is these websites would have certain words in them or pictures or whatever. And that's free. But the downside of that is it's only like reports every 2 weeks. So a lot of damage could be done before the report gets in the person's hands. Covenant Eyes is more frequent. I forget what the going price is right now, but it's not really, really expensive. But it's much more sophisticated. It's easy to use, but it's much more detailed in its reporting. And I think you can get like one subscription that covers so many computers in your home. So you don't have to buy a subscription for every computer, which is very helpful. But there's programs to, like my son uses a program, and he's struggled sometimes with, getting proper sleep. So he's had a program installed that internet cuts out 11 o'clock.
He's a very technical guy, but you know, he just lets that happen, and that means it's time to quit, you know, internet. And there's, you can program the computer to shut down at certain times. The internet's only on during certain windows of time. You know, like he said, you can block certain sites, you can block certain types of sites. You can have different windows for different users. If you have a very young child in the home, you can program it so for that child's login, when they log into the computer under a certain name, only certain access is available. As they get older, you can expand the window of accessible types of sites for each user. So, you know, so there's all different levels of sophistication. One thing I will tell you, though, is he mentioned, and I suppose it's good for youngest children, you can look at, there's a way to look at the history of where they've been. But histories can be deleted. There's more sophisticated ways of finding out where people have been that I won't say, because that will tell people how to figure that out. But if you want to talk to me privately, there's ways of figuring out where people have been that they would be very, they'd have to be very technical to know how to erase them. So there are ways around some of these safe things. Other questions or programs that you found helpful or anything like that?
No, one thing we've done in our home is computer viewable one off. I'm very delighted to hear about the Covenant Eyes, because I thought it was a
lot. Yeah. When you see the next presentation, it is just like, you know, I got in technology very early. Like we had the first IBM PC at our Christian school. We followed, you know, we're always a generation behind the computer because it's a lot cheaper buying the, not the latest, but the next to the latest computer. So we had the XP and the AP and the 286 and 386. And the 486 and now the Pentiums, every version of Pentium, you know, was a step behind. But, you know, what can all be seen, like, I think, John, you have one of those Droid phones, right? What can all be done on those phones is just astounding. Like, we think, oh, they're not messing around with computers. That means nothing to them. You have everything at your fingertips on your phone for a minimal amount of money. So like Dr. Murray said, there's some tremendous opportunities, but there's some tremendous dangers. I think this point is well taken. We can say, no, we're not going down this route. We're not having any of this stuff. That works for now. But the day comes, your children grow up, they get married, they're on their own, and you train them nothing, and they're not prepared at all. And everything is interesting. I mean, I found myself, you know, even at one point just becoming so engrossed in the news, because every bit of news you could ever want or not want is available, you know, with a touch of a button. So before you know it, you just blew a couple, 3 hours without even trying it. It's like, what do I need to know all that for? You know, that there's a coup going on in Azerbaijan.
Plus there were one for mine, I think. That's
yeah. So, you know, I think time use is a major, major factor, as well as the kinds of abuse we can come across in the internet. Other things that you've found or shared or have questions about?
I think the privacy issue,
yes,
of your own name, yep, information, you know, stuff like blogs, Facebook, all this stuff, it's very, very personal. Mm-hmm. Seems like
make some time and reflect.
Yes.
Well, on that account, a lot of people think, well, you know, I was a kid and had my Facebook page, but I just deleted it. It's undeletable.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you can take it down, but the record is permanent. People can find it. So whatever you once had is available if the person knows enough how to access it.
Whatever you ever enter in there,
right,
is on a solid record.
Yeah,
solid. Same way with, you know, emails.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the old technology now, emails.
Yeah. Oh, you see, you hear this in the news, right, where the government official is embezzling or whatever, and he tried to format his drive, and, well, they've got the copy somehow. They're able to retrieve them all, take them to court, and there it is.
All conversations, you know, on cell phones.
Yeah, cell phones, even
wireless
phones in your home are accessible.
Unless it's a corded phone.
Yeah, corded, well, even corded phones can be attacked, right? But usually only with a warrant, supposedly. So, the other thing is, as he's going to show on the second presentation, future potential employers automatically now Google your name, check your Facebook page, see if you've got anything on YouTube. There's some astounding statistics about what's all out there that young people are putting online that would make your head turn. And the numbers of doing so. There was one statistic, we preview all these before we show them to church. There was one statistic, we all just said, whoa, we didn't realize about stuff getting put on YouTube and whatnot. So, you know, a good caution, be careful what you put out there. Because you know, just like words, you can't take them back. You know, we've already made comments to some of our older children that, you know, you might be thinking one thing when you put something up. It can be taken up, as all communication can, very differently by other people. So be very careful when you comment about people, when you comment about events. There was somebody brought to my attention something very recently, where somebody took up something very, very differently than the person intended to cause a big problem. So you have to be careful. There's lots of opportunities with some of these things, but like he said, there's lots of potential pitfalls. Anything else? Okay, so a good start. And then I think the next presentation I found to be actually the most helpful, where he walks you through how to apply some of these principles to actual settings. How many of you, by the way, have Facebook pages? Just give a quick show of hands. Okay, so very few do. How many of you have Twitter? No tweets here? No tweets. How many of you have chat? Text message. She's doing what she's supposed to. She's observing.
I know they can't catch her on a cell phone, so.
Actually, you can text through the
computer. I realize that.
In fact, there's a free texting service. I can text Pastor Molinar's cell phone is in. Well, thank you. If I don't know if he's by his computer, I know he's on his phone, and I can text him for nothing. The program makes sense. I have a friend in New Jersey. He sends me emails through his cell phone. They can be at work. He's like, "Dear Pastor, whoa, he's at home with me." So the technology is definitely out there. How many of you ever looked at something on YouTube? Okay. Now, anybody who's ever looked at anything on YouTube, you always get more than you bargained for, don't you? Even if you've got the link that brings you to the exact video you want to see, and the video is perfectly fine, what pops up? So you got four videos across the top, six or seven down the side.
It might be related.
Sometimes very vague.
Yeah.
And not in any sense or way.
The word isn't
well known. Yeah. So that's a very dangerous site, actually. Now, it's supposed to not contain any pornographic images. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, okay, so there's nothing really, really, really explicit, but there's a lot of very, very, very suggestive things. So it is a particularly difficult thing. Yes, sir.
That brought up an interesting point. As far as like banners and stuff like that, they're pretty inappropriate. Like go to Facebook and they'll have things that pop up, and of course you can click it away, but you've already seen it. So there are there is software out there now that actually sees the flesh tones and will actually like block out things that in banners and other stuff they'll pick up the actual flesh tones and blur that out so it can't.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
What is that called?
I can't remember the name. There's different but they're actually getting better at it too. Really, how as it progresses, it'll get better. But
I've got an idea. The email address on the bulletin, I get those. So if any of you have come across programs or have ideas or anything, send them to me. I'll compile them, put them into a single file, and send them out to everybody. For things like that, if you found good filtering programs, good time management programs, anything you found to be helpful, any advice you have, let's pull it, put it on a single document so we have the combined benefit of everybody's experiences. Good. Okay, part two, God willing, next time. Let me just eject this. Sorry, Doug.
Is this online, or is this...
No, this is a for-purchasing presentation, so I can't really post it. You know, I really shouldn't.
He does have a website that's, I think,
hitartand.org. .org.
Yeah, he does a lot of talks about the model.
He has a lot of free stuff on his, I don't know if it's a blog or website or whatever, but headarthand.org. And he has, and you can get all kinds of lectures of his, stuff he teaches in the seminary, sermons. I mean, the man is really got a lot of stuff accessible. But this particular presentation, I'll lend it to anybody who wants it. You can show it to friends or whatever. But I really can't reproduce it really. So, okay, let's pray and then we'll pray.